Revelation chapter 3, Revelation chapter 3, Revelation chapter 3. Well, two things are about to happen. One could be the rapture. Number two, it could be a rupture. Something's bound to give. You can only kink a hole so long with so much pressure behind it until something's about to give. And I believe we're living in the last days. We see that all around us. The signs of the last days are already here. And most of the signs that are given to us in the Bible are signs that really are pointing to the second coming of Christ, which is when Christ comes back with His saints. And we see those signs already on this earth, and so I believe we're just waiting on a few things, and we'll talk about those here in a little bit. But tonight we'll talk about rapture ready. Rapture ready. And you better get ready if you're not ready, and if you are ready, stay ready. And I believe it is going to be soon. And very soon, Revelation chapter 3, Revelation chapter 3. And we know that through the Scripture, through the book of Revelation, that chapter 1 through the end of chapter 3, the writing is predominantly to the seven churches of Asia Minor at that time. John is on the Isle of Patmos. He's writing these letters to these local New Testament churches. They are visible churches. They're not invisible. They're visible churches that he is writing to exhortate to them some things about the last days. And so we see that. But I know a lot of times when we speak of the rapture, we read chapter 4 and verse 1. But there's something we sometimes miss in chapter 3 in verses 10, mainly verse 10 and verse 11 that is said here, I think, that will be a help to us in understanding the rapture. Okay, look at chapter 3 and in verse 10, if you will. The Bible says, "Because thou hast kept the word of my patience," he says, "I will also keep thee." Now notice this next word, "from." From the hour of temptation. Now you study that word temptation, it is the same word used as tribulation. So in other words, he's saying that hour of temptation, he's telling the local church, he's telling the churches prophetically that I will keep you from the hour of the tribulation period. Now, here's what I think. I think if you're not pre-trib, that God ought to leave you here through the tribulation, and then you'd wish you was pre-trib when you got in about 1 month of the tribulation period. I'm glad God doesn't go by what we believe. I'm glad God goes by truth. And truth is found through the Scripture that God's going to come back through the Lord Jesus Christ, and He's going to meet us in the air. He's coming down on a cloud. He's going to shout to us, a voice of a trumpet. The archangel's going to shout. And guess what the church is going to do? It's going to rise. And the moment that the church arises, the 70th week of Daniel, you read that in Daniel chapter 9, the 70th week of Daniel begins in the tribulation period. The moment the church is raptured out of here, we kick back into a Jewish calendar. God begins to deal with the Jews once more. It's just as if you were watching a movie or whatever, and you mash pause and you go do something to come back. It doesn't change the movie necessarily, but it guess what God has done to the Jews? He's mashed the pause button and said, "I'll be back." But by the way, He's told the church, "I'll be back." Before He deals with the Jews and Israel predominantly during the tribulation period, and that's what the tribulation period is predominantly for, He's coming back for us. If you're saved here tonight, you're going to be part of the greatest event of history. You know what? I believe it's going to be the greatest event we'll ever see until we reach the portals of heaven. And then we're going to see heaven in all of its splendor. I'm waiting on that day. But notice it back in chapter 3, verse 10. He says, "From the hour of temptation." Now notice what he says, "which shall come upon all the world." By the way, if the flood was a worldwide event, so must the judgment of God be a worldwide event. By the way, when Jesus came, He came to die for the whole world. If it was a local flood, Jesus would have had to die just for the local people. But because it was a worldwide flood, Jesus had to come, because sin just didn't affect Adam and Eve. It didn't just affect them. It affected the whole world. We're still affected by the sin of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And when Jesus came, He came that He might die for all mankind. I'm glad for that. We only need one Savior. I was, let me keep reading this. I got sidetracked. Notice what he said, upon all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. He said, behold, I come slowly. Now, that's not what my Bible says. My Bible says quickly. What does that mean? God's not going to hover on a cloud and go, well, y'all, I'm going to call you up here, y'all. Go ahead and get ready. No, sir. You better be ready tonight. Because if he comes, he's not waiting on you. He's not going to give you a moment to decide and cast your ballot. Amen? He's not some lecturer in some place of election. He's in a place of a decision right now. Today is the day of salvation. He says, behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. There is coming a day of a crown. Now, go to chapter 4, verse 1. Chapter 4, verse 1, Paul sitting on the Isle of Patmos, he immediately goes from the earthly in chapter 3, an earthly vision of things happening here on earth, to chapter 4 into a heavenly vision. Now notice what happens in chapter 4. Now notice the first word, after. Okay, the verse 2 words are after this. After what? After the dealing with the church. After the church age. After this, I looked and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were a what? 1 Thessalonians says there's going to be a trumpet. Well, John heard that same trumpet. He said, after this I heard the voice of which was a trumpet talking with me, which said, here it is, rapture time, come up hither. Well, Lord, I don't know if I want to go. Well, I don't know about you. There ain't nothing holding me here. I prayed more for the rapture in the last 2 months than I have my whole entire life. I got to tell y'all this. It was funny, but it wasn't funny. We were in staff meeting a month ago. I don't know. A month with me is like a year sometimes. And we were going through all the things that we had to get, you know, accomplished in the month of October. Whew. I looked at it. I said, heavens to Betsy. That's a southern slang. I don't even know who Betsy is, but we blame her. Her and old Cooter Brown, all the rest of them. But the pastor said, you know, Brother Wiggins, will you dismiss us in prayer? And I was trying to be serious until the rest of our staff started blowing out laughter. And I prayed. I said, Lord, we pray for the rapture right now. I was being really serious because I looked at the task at hand and physically I did not want to do it. So I prayed for a way out. I didn't pray God kill me. You know, he could have done that. That would have been all right too. But I prayed, God, would you send the rapture? I don't know if it's biblical to pray for it, but I did. I prayed it every day since then. Lord, even so, come quickly. I'm ready. My family's saved. I would love more people to get saved. I love my dad to get saved. I loved a lot of other people to get saved, but I'm ready. The longer I live, the more I live ready. Are you rapture ready tonight? If it was to happen right now, do you know for sure, 100% sure, that you're saved, that Jesus Christ is your Savior, that your sins have been forgiven? If you don't know that, you need to get rapture ready. God's not going to wait on you, my friend. He has been long-suffering enough, and He's long-suffering to us for that all should come to repentance. And He's just waiting on the Father to say right now. Now, I'll show you this here in a little bit. I believe on the throne of God there lays a horn. And it's laying there and everybody's watching that horn. Because, you know, it says the trump of God. I believe it's His trumpet. And the Bible says that the angels don't even know when He's going to sound it. But the Father knows. And one day He's going to say, here you go. That last trump. And that's not Donald Trump. Right? He's not the last trump. There's one that's going to trump Him. Amen? Now notice, if you will, He says, after this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice He said, I saw tall. He said, come up hither. And notice what He says. I will show thee things which must be hereafter. What after? What is it coming after? The things that must be hereafter. After the church. After the church is taken out, these are the things. And notice what John sees. He says, I love this word. And immediately, it was instantaneous for him to go from earth to heaven immediately. You say, I don't know if that can happen. Well, ask Enoch. Enoch walked with God. And was not. Because what? God took him. Boom. He gone. Well, tell you what, there's going to be people one day walking down a hallway and go to high-five somebody, and they're just going to go right through it. There's going to be people that you're going to be driving down the road, and all of a sudden, if you're rapture ready, you're gone. That car's on its own. Now, Google will take care of that car. It'll drive it around for you. Okay? Or whatever, you know, these Tesla cars, they'll drive themselves. Let them go. But I'll tell you what, it's going to be mass chaos at this moment. But I want you to notice, I'm not looking at the earthly. Somebody asked me one time, they said, "Preacher, I need to know what exactly is going on during the tribulation period." Well, there's a lot in the Scripture. Matter of fact, chapter 4 through chapter 19 deals with the tribulation period. There's a lot more about the tribulation than there is any about the rapture or about the millennial period or about eternity, as saying. But here's my thought. I'm not here, and I don't really care. Amen? Now, here in a couple of weeks, we're going to study the tribulation period for 2 weeks. But I'm going to give you what the Bible says. But I'm going to be honest with you. I really don't care. Because notice what John said. "And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, throne set in heaven." I love that word, set in heaven. This week we poured some concrete out here. When I left it, you could stick your finger in it, and you could make marks in it. But when I came back the next morning, guess what it had done? It had set up. It was no longer movable. Notice this throne. This is not a movable throne. This is a throne that is set in heaven, in the heaven. He said, "And one sat on that throne. And he that sat was to look upon like jasper and sardis stone." And he said, "And there was a rainbow round about the throne in a sight like unto emerald." He said, "And around about the throne were 24 seats." That's my representatives. That's my senators of heaven. He said, "And upon the seat I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment." There ain't no more sin. That whiteness. Remember what Jesus said? He compared the husband and the wife with Christ in the church. And he said that he might present that bride, present the church spotless and clean before the Father. Now notice on down he says, in verse 4 again, he says, "Round about the throne, 24 elders clothed in white, are sitting clothed in white raiment, and they had on their head crowns of gold." Hallelujah. I get to sit there. I'm excited about it. You know what I'm excited about? I'm excited about seeing Jesus. I'm excited about seeing the one who died for me. Now, one asks, says, "Well, preacher, I didn't see the rapture in there anywhere." Well, it's not like John said, "Rapture happening now," and put a dot there. But John gave us the wording and gave us a vision, because from chapter 4 to chapter 19, predominantly, the word church or anything about the church is not said anymore. Why? Because the church is no longer in this vision of the tribulation period. The church during that time is being judged at this time. We're at a place where we're going to be with Christ forever. We're getting ready for the second coming. The second coming, we get to come with Him. Not only do we get white raiment, but we get a white horse. Yeehaw! I don't like riding horses. Not while there's padded seats in my car. Amen? And air conditioning. Me and Shelby went up last year, I believe it was year 4, and rode in Imperial Canyon, whatever it is, up north Texas. We rode horses through the Paladurum, is that it? Canyon. And we rode horses down through that canyon for hours. Beautiful scenery, but it changes the way you walk. For the rest of the day, I walked a little different. My horse didn't, it come with no brakes on it that were easy. It came with the emergency brake and no brake. And when that horse wanted to stop, it stopped. When you wanted to slow down, it didn't know that one. When you barely touched those reins back a little bit, it was like putting the emergency brake on. And me and that horse, anyway, it was a good day. And until I got off that horse and I got in my car, I was like, "Thank you, Jesus." Amen? But one day, we're coming back with Him. That is the second coming. There are three main passages. Let me get into this tonight, because really, to understand the rapture, we have to look back. Now, remember that the Old Testament saints predominantly did not see the church age nor the rapture. What they saw is that they skipped the church age because they would not have understood it at that time. But they skipped that and they saw the second coming. When you read Matthew chapter 24, Matthew chapter 24 is not talking about the rapture. It's talking about the second coming. It's talking about a 7-year lapse after the rapture. And that's why Matthew writes during that time the things that are going to transpire. Now we see those things because we're so close to the second coming. I believe we're maybe 7 years and one day away from the second coming. We're close. When you get that close to that second coming, the things that are going to show during that time are going to fade over into the years before. By the way, you can look ahead back in time and you can see when our economic collapses happened that the precursors were there years and years before that they actually happened. And even during the Great Depression in the 30s, that those before those years, there were signs that it was coming to that. Just like there's signs today. By the way, look at our world. Our world is in a mess. We can't even find two good candidates to run for president. And I was thinking the other day, I said, God help us. God help us that in our world today there's so much tension amongst races and amongst churches and Christians and non-believers and believers and against these people and these people. And I'm telling you, we just live in a chaotic world. But I live in a calm. Because I live rapture ready. That I know that this by the way, the political world doesn't run me. Amen. Right? Shouldn't run you. By the way, it shouldn't even really worry you. You know what? At the end of the day, I'm going to cast my vote for the candidates I think that are closest to this. Which closest to this is miles and miles away. But you kind of have to go with the one that's at least closest. You know, look 60 miles down the road, you finally see one candidate, you go, well, looks like I got to go with you. Right? And by the way, it doesn't matter if you're Republican, Democrat, or Independent. I want to pick the person who lines up with this. And we said this before, basically we're voting for pro-abortion and anti-abortion. That's your vote, you know. But it's amazing how, at the end of the day, really it doesn't matter. Because when Jesus calls me home, He's not calling the Republicans home. He's not calling the Democrats home. He's not calling the independents home. He's calling the independent Baptist home. He's calling the believer home. Now I want to give you the three main passages. I want you to look with me if you will. We're going to flip a little bit. Three main passages. Number one, you know these very well. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. I want you to notice the accompanying verses of this. John chapter 14, if you'll look there with me, please. John chapter 14. John chapter 14, I want you to look at verses 1 through 3. You know these verses. You hear them a lot of times at funerals and things like that. But I think these verses ought to comfort us and help us to be rapture ready. Now, by the way, if you're rapture ready, the Bible says in John chapter 14, verse 1, it says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. What does that mean? Let not your heart be troubled. In other words, I don't care what the political arena does. I don't care what economics does. I don't care about those things compared to my Lord coming back and getting me. My heart is not troubled. Just because so-and-so gets into presidential office, I don't go, oh, we're done. I just go, bring it on. I almost want to vote for the worst candidate. That way maybe that will usher in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Vote in old Hitler and we'll send her out. I mean, Hillary and just... Phew. But listen, here we are. It says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place, He said, I will come again. The poor old disciples, they were sitting there after the Lord had risen and had showed Himself to them and in His glorious appearing. And they were sitting there just astounded and they were gazing up into heaven and the angel of the Lord came. Remember the story? And He said, why stand ye gazing? Amen. This same Jesus, not another one, not a different form of Him, but this same Jesus whom you see, I'm kind of paraphrasing, who you seen go up, He's coming again. He's coming again. By the way, He is coming again. He is coming again. John chapter 14 shows us that. Now turn over to 1 Corinthians. You know these scriptures. This is just rehearsal tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Notice verse 51 or 50. Let's start at 50. Now, to the Corinthians, he reveals this as a mystery. He said, behold, I show you a mystery. In other words, this has been hidden and this is a mystery to you, and I'm going to reveal it through you through special revelation. This is a special revelation that God has given Paul to reveal to the church at Corinth. Why was this being revealed to the church at Corinth? Because they were too busy feuding with each other. And Paul is saying, hey, there's a future event that's going to happen. By the way, I forgot to read this. In the Thomas Jefferson Room at the largest library in America, which is at the Library of Congress, this is written on the wall. I'm quoting, "One God, one law, one element." Now get this. You can go look it up. I had to look it up. You look it up. It says, "In one far-off divine event to which the whole creation moves." Ooh, we can't have that in a government building. They said God. And then he alluded to a rapture. Said, "One far-off divine event to which the whole creation moves." Listen, when the rapture happens, it's going to affect the entire world. It's going to affect the trees and the sun and the moon. And we know that during the tribulation time, it's going to be darkening. And it's going to get darker and the blood's going to run. We know that. It's going to affect the entire world. And they knew that. Phew, it's amazing what you can find in government buildings. I like that. 1 Corinthians 15 says, "Behold, I show you a mystery." Where am I at? There we are. "We shall not all sleep." And this is in most nurseries. "But we shall all be changed." You get that. But I want you to notice it says in a moment. In a twinkling of an eye. And I meant to look this up, but if you study that out, the twinkling of an eye is not the blinking of an eye. It's the time that it takes for light to reflect off your retina. There's a speed there, but I know for some reason it's fast. Trust me. It's quick. It's hundreds of thousands of miles an hour coming in there. Just made that up, but it's close. I should have read it a little closer. But notice what he says. By the way, he says, "at the last trump." By the way, during that time, in the times of the Romans, they had three trumpets. They had one that was an alarm clock. It woke the soldiers up. Number two, they had a second trumpet that would be sounded to assemble the troops together and to give them their marching orders. But there also was a third one. That third one was to get busy. Get doing what you're doing. That second one is, I'm sorry. But the third one was, you're done. Come home. It's time to go back. Listen to me, we're waiting on the last trump. We've already heard the first trump, the second trump. We're just waiting on the last trump. He says, "for the trump," if God's filling up to it, he's going to sound it. No, it says, "for the trump of God shall, for the trump shall sound. And the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." He said, one day there's going to be a trumpet sound. And what did John say? He said, "immediately I was taken up into heaven, and I heard a voice, as it were, a trumpet, and it said, come up hither." All right. Here we see another trumpet. Well, turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let's look at another trumpet. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It's right before 2 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I want you to notice what the Bible says here in verse 13. One thing I don't want to be is ignorant. And he tells us how not to be here. He says, "but I would not have you to be ignorant." Got my attention. When it comes to spiritual things, I don't want to be ignorant of it. When it comes to spiritual things, I want to make sure I understand. But I want to tell you what, when it comes to the rapture, I don't want to be ignorant of it. Because there's going to be a lot of ignorant people that knew what's going to happen, yet they failed to trust Jesus Christ. They failed to trust in the grace of God that He'd give them. Notice what it says, "I have you not be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." You ever go to that funeral? Hey, listen, it's all right to cry, but it is not all right not to have hope. We have a blessed hope. We have hope, not as the world has hope, but we have hope that what? One day we're going to be reunited with those believers. I don't know about you, but I don't enjoy funerals, but I sure enjoy more the ones that I know that are saved or think I know that they're saved. It's something to stand behind a casket. We had a man in our church that I came from in Burnett and died last year, I believe it was, Brother Harden. And Brother Harden was a soul winner. He had bad hip, bad legs, bad everything. And he'd walk out there and walk with me for hours knocking doors. We'd have to take a break. Guess for who? Me. I'm wore out. And he's like, let's keep going, preacher. He's like, one more street. He loved the Lord Jesus Christ. He loved working. Hey, he was one of those guys kind of like around here. I mean, all I'd have to do is say, man, I sure wish I had somebody come up and help me. He'd be up there. He'd be there long before I got there waiting and be like, preacher, where you been? I'm like, well, it's 4 o'clock in the morning. I didn't think we were going to get started that early. But he was that type of man, and he loved the Lord. He loved missions. He would give everything to missions, and I got to be there for his funeral. And you know what? It brought great joy to my life to know that through his testimony, through his personal word, and through his life, that he is now in the presence of God. That was reassuring to me. So notice what it says, as others that have no hope. Verse 14 says, for if we believe Jesus died, rose again. By the way, that's the gospel. Even so them which are asleep, that's those that have already gone on, in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Amen to that. For the Lord himself, now notice this. By the way, three things happen before the rapture happens. We always say it is an imminent return. I know that, but three things are going to happen before. Notice what it says. It says, before the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Now, what does our commentary say on that? That means the Lord's going to shout and come down. I figured that one out. It said, with the voice of an archangel. There's only one archangel mentioned in the Bible. You know who that is? Michael. All I got to do is shout right now. It goes. I think he's far from me. Notice what it says. The Lord shouts. It's almost like a commander talking to his subordinate. He shouts. The archangel shouts. But notice the last thing with the trump of God. By the way, I think that's a special trump. I believe it's the voice of God. Sounds out, right? Notice what happy says, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. They get a head start on us. Why? Because they got further to go. They got 6 feet further to go than us. We'll give them a head start. They've been dead. Bodies have been down there. But notice this. Then we which are alive and remain. You know what I think? I think it'd be good not to die and just go in the rapture. I'd be all right skipping the death scene, wouldn't you? I know some of you that work in the funeral home wouldn't be too happy about that, but I'd just soon skip it, right? I'd just soon skip the casket. I'd just rather just go on. Notice what he says, which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. Oh, that word caught up is the same term used over in Revelation 4. It's a rapture. Caught up. Come up hither is what he said in Revelation. He said, together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. In other words, when I go to meet the Lord, I'm not ever leaving him again. Amen. He said, wherefore comfort one another with these words. I don't know about you, but I'm comforted. Amen. To know that this is not my final resting place. Amen. To know that one day there's going to be a shout and a trump. Here we go. We lose all gravitation. The thing that's holding us here. By the way, I'm excited about the rapture. Are you ready? Are you rapture ready tonight? Three things about are you ready. I'm just going to give them to you. Jesus is coming and nothing's going to stop him. You're not going to stop him and the devil's not going to stop him. He is coming again. Are you rapture ready? Well, being rapture ready is about winning. It's about winning. You say, what are we winning? Well, I don't know about you, but I want to be on the winning side. Whenever the trumpet sounds, I want to be on the winning side. And we sing that song, I'm on the winning side. Yes, I'm on the winning side. How do you win? Do you do good works? Do you get in the baptistry? Do you join the church? Do you do all these things? No, the way me and you win is through who won already. If you go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and in verse 58, somewhere in there, verse 54 to 58, it says, who have the victory through Jesus Christ. That means we have the victory through Him. The grave has no stronghold on us. Death has no stronghold on us. But we are loose from that because Jesus won for us. The rapture is about being on the winning side. Are you saved tonight? Number two, it's about working. Why? Because when you're raptured out of here, you're not going to give an account for your sin necessarily, right? Those are all under the blood, but you're going to give an account for what you did and what you didn't do for the Lord Jesus Christ. What were your motives behind it? I get no crowns for doing any work in the back. I've had the worst attitude doing that stuff back there. It's aggravated me to death. Pastor said the other day, he said, I should appreciate you. I said, all them crowns are gone. I threatened to blow the whole place up with dynamite. I've been out there on that trencher, hit every rock in Tarrant County. And Wise County and Denton County and every other county. Boy, I've been so aggravated out there the other day, it just hit me. I was like, I got to remind myself, I'm doing this for the Lord. I'm the world's worst at getting aggravated. My wife's going, oh. Nothing ever goes right, it seems, sometimes. Stinking trenchers. In my mind, I never charged God foolishly. But I sure didn't want to blow up some trenchers too. I'm glad. That's why people don't trust me with explosives. They see me coming at Academy now and I can't even buy Tannerite anymore. There's like a little FBI guy that shakes his head at me and says, no more, Mr. Wiggins. But you know what? I was reminded again today that it is about working and being ready. We'll work till Jesus comes. Give Him our best. I don't do any work out there for any of you. I do it for Him. And at the end of the day, that's His rock that I had to dig around for an hour. He put it there. By the way, every now and then it's good to realize that you can't do something on your own sometimes. You know, if everything was so easy, we wouldn't rely on the Lord, would we? And then the last thing, the rapture is about warning. It's about warning. Is it about warning you? No, it's about warning others. Why do I support missions? I support missions, number one, because the Lord tells me to. That is the Great Commission, but really, also I support missions because I want to support a missionary who goes across the sea, the land, wherever it may be, and he was warning others that Jesus is coming again. How would you feel tonight that if the rapture happened and you didn't know anything about it? Because you had never heard about Jesus Christ. We are spoiled rotten here in America, aren't we? I don't know about you, but I've heard about Jesus a lot in my life. I've heard for the last almost 40 years of my life, I'm sure. When I was 5 years old, I sang my first song in church, and my mom thinks this is it. I don't remember it because I was 5 years old. And I don't remember much when I was young. I don't remember much about yesterday, other than I got aggravated at a trencher. I remember those things. But I remember the song. It's, this could be your last day to find Jesus. This could be your last chance, Lord, to pray. Tomorrow could be too late for praying. For the coming of the Lord could be today. And the song goes, this could be your last chance. This could be. This could be your last chance to win. Because if the rapture happens, you are automatically placed on the losing team. Thanks to Adam, he placed us on the losing team. But Jesus came, the second Adam, and the last Adam came, what, to put us on the winning team. The second thing it's about is about working. If you're ready, you're working. Matter of fact, Jesus said there's a special crown for those who love His appearing. In other words, if you're working and doing what you're supposed to, you're going to love His appearing. You're not going to go, oh, I didn't know He was coming so soon. But the third thing is about warning. When you live rapture ready, you live warning others. I don't know about you, but if I was driving down the road and Shelby was following me behind in her car, and all of a sudden the road just had collapsed in, and I pull off the side of the road, I would not wave my daughter on through. I would hop out of my vehicle and do all I could to stop her from the danger. What are you doing? Our neighbors are going to die and go to hell. We need to be warning them. Give them a track. Tell them about Jesus. Are you rapture ready tonight? Let's stand. We're going to sing, What a Day That Would Be, Hymn 91. I'm going to pray, and if you need to use this altar tonight, are you rapture ready? If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ, your Savior, can I invite you to this altar? And can I beg and plead with you tonight? You can get rapture ready. We can take this Bible right here and show you through the Word of God how to be rapture ready. What about your working? Are you working for the Lord? Are you working for yourself? Are you working for others? Number three, are you warning? It's about warning. If you're rapture ready, you're warning others of the danger to come. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for this night. Lord, would you bless this time of invitation? God, I thank you so much. Lord, we need you tonight. I pray if there's one here that's lost, I pray they get saved. Lord, if there's one here tonight that God just has is not working, God, I pray that they would get a burden tonight and a heart to work for you. And Lord, maybe we're not doing our best at warning. God, I know I'm not. Lord, I pass by people all the time going the wrong direction. Father, help me to be a warning sign, a beacon, a light into them. Bless this invitation now, we ask you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hymn 91, what a day that will be, as Miss Linda begins to play.